On the knee, up before the sun, still you gotta bleed. Tired little town, hot dust in your throat. You learn how to run, then you learn to float. Every eye's a test, every turn is a gate. Every night on the line, a chance to be great. No sleep, no grace, still you show your face. One more round, one more climb, one more shot tonight.
Welcome, everybody, to the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents the Sin City Indie Report. I am Sin City Steve, and joining me, as always, my masked compatriot, Red Jed, who, unfortunately, it looks like as if we might be DOA right out of the gate.
Oh, so, shit. I'm going to nice up, brother.
Yeah, man, I can't see your video, bro.
Oh shit! Yeah, I'm going on this end.
I will. I'm going to give you the boot and try to get reconnected.
All right.
But what we're gonna do is, yeah, absolutely. I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us and joining us tonight for the Sin City Indie Report. We got a lot of really good things to talk about tonight. We're gonna break down MLW Fusion. We're gonna talk about Future Stars of Wrestling. Both of those promotions had some killer shows this week. So obviously we talked about them last week as part of what we were looking forward to, but, now we are back. Jed, are you with me?
I am living in living color, my brother.
All right. All right. Sounds good, man. Well, I was just bringing people up to speed on what we were going to talk about, but you know what, my man? We got a ton of stuff to get into, without any further ado, let's just dive in, man. Let's talk about MLW Major League Wrestling and Fusion. You said it last week was what you were looking out for this week. So, bro, let us jump into it.
Yeah, man. This has been a while this has been around. Fusion has been an established property of MLW. They took a break from the format for many a year, or a couple of years at least, and focused more towards the premium live event formats. They were having, generally speaking, a live event followed by a taped event every in a kind of a rotation. But now we're back to the weekly format now of Fusion, and this kicked off with a special 2-hour, essentially 2 weeks worth of all the fusion you can handle. And I don't know what you thought, brother, but this pace of this, these first two episodes, or this bigger one, big premiere episode, I thought was great.
Dude, I really appreciated the way that everything was laid out. Yeah. It felt like as if everything had its place, but nothing was sacrificed. Right. So they gave as much programming as possible in that 2-hour block. And, you know, you had the in-ring promos, you had the vignettes, you had some killer matches, and you set some really good things up for the future. Obviously, Killer Cross is the MLW heavyweight champion. He puts out an open challenge, and we found out at the end of that episode just who answered that open challenge, and it was none other than Matt Riddle.
Right, man. Yeah, so they have a little bit of history in this promotion. They squared off in Battle Riot. So there definitely there's some rivalry going on with that match. So that'll be coming up in 2 weeks. And another big theme of this Fusion premiere was establishing the Good Brothers and the Skyscrapers for the tag titles coming up as well. That was a big focus, particularly on the second end of this episode. There was some good shit, definitely, with Bishop Dyer and Hammerstone.
Oh, dude, that match was awesome.
Yeah, that was a physical.
Shout out to our boy Chris for hanging out with us tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining the show. As he says, bro.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. But yeah, I'll tell you what the real highlight of this show was. I thought the absolute top of this whole premiere was the Austin Aries and Trevor Lee match. I thought,
dude,
holy fuck. Unbelievable.
Austin Aries proves that he can still run with the best of them. Yeah. And Trevor Lee shows why he's had so much buzz around him his entire career.
Absolutely
great match between these two.
Yeah, that to me was definitely one of the better worked matches I've seen in MLW in a long time. And that covers a lot of ground with their PLEs and things like that. So, wow, I was impressed. I was definitely impressed with that one. And then we got, of course, Priscilla Kelly and Shotzi in the opener of the Premier of Fusion. A match you and I have seen many a time this year already. It seems like it's been on rotation of sorts, even not too recently, even with the Australia shows that we saw just a few weeks ago. So,
absolutely, man. And, you know, obviously, these two are extremely familiar with one another in more ways than one, as we saw from those Australia shows. But Shotzi continues to prove that she is just absolutely crushing it this year. Yeah, 2026 has already been her year, and it not just my opinion, but the opinions of a lot of people.
You're about right, brother. Yeah, and I do think that. I believe it's next week. She's having a match for the women's championship, and I could definitely see a title switch on that one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. It's that's almost a foregone conclusion at this point.
I think so too. Yeah. I think the way they're setting it up on the show was definitely, they're going to probably flip the belt next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And also obviously, you know, we mentioned, Hammerstone and Bishop Dyer. We did see the debut of Zamaya here on MLW. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Zamaya and the impact that she had at Future Stars of Wrestling this week.
Yeah.
Here in just a minute. But honestly, she's doing her thing and getting all of the exposure at the right time, to say the least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made her look like an absolute monster on this episode. I thought, what a great way to debut her. Wow. Just an impressive start for Zamaya. Really, really impressed with where they're going to go with her. I could put the connect the dots a little bit. Maybe we'll see Shotzi and Zamaya coming up.
Yeah. I could easily see that, man. Yeah. You know, elsewhere on the show, obviously, you know, we had the Good Brothers and the Coffee Brothers duking it out, man. These dudes just threw bombs, and it was a pretty hard hitting contest for sure.
Yeah, it brought it for sure. Absolutely. And then on the wacky side, we got the small little vignette with Danny McBride talking about the, I guess, the origin of Don Gato.
Yeah.
So that was unexpected.
Dude, it was one hell of a lore dump.
It sure
was. I wasn't expecting on getting that.
Me either, brother. Yeah, that was something. That was something.
Yeah, man. And obviously, you know, this show was it was technically two episodes. It felt like as if they just, you know, put those two episodes together. Yeah. But between both hours of MLW Fusion, it was a very entertaining watch. I'm definitely going to be revisiting it going forward. And obviously, it's available for free on YouTube every single week on Saturdays. Yeah. And they got that super cool time slot that they're doing their premieres. So. 6:05, you gotta love it.
6:05, yep. And then I think, it's gonna kind of ease into a 1 hour format, and the pace really reminds me of like a JCW. I mean, it's just like boom, 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 rapid fire, really no delays, no lagging, no downtime.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And just turning the page a little bit here, and we'll talk about the show that I mentioned that I was looking forward to. FSW High Octane Money to Burn. This took place on the 31st of May. from the FSW Arena here in Las Vegas. And this show, man, there were some really, really solid matches on this show. Standout was, quite frankly, in your opening contest between Bryce Saturn and Watson. Yeah. Both of these guys worked their asses off in 8 minutes, and this was a solid, solid match from bell to bell.
Yeah, man. Bryce Saturn is really coming around. He mentioned him later. He was also on Championship Wrestling this week and looked excellent in that one as well. So really, you know, keep your eye on Bryce Saturn. I think he's going somewhere and going somewhere quick, I think. Yeah, great opener. Great, solid opener to kick off this high-octane show.
Definitely, man. And, you know, one other thing that that stood out to me was the three-way tag match on this show between Live Danger, Danger Ross, and Livewire Charlie, defeating the Chingon Cartel, Enrique Calderon and Freddie Cordova, and Young Money, Jaden Monroe, and RJ Wild. Live Danger just continues to entertain, man. These guys... they've got something special. They're doing the right things. They're getting better in the ring each week, and they got the aura, man. They got the aura. They're putting the pieces together. So it's really fun to watch.
Yeah. Physical presence, if there ever was one with those guys, and they really bring the physicality in the ring too. It's like you said, it's an aura thing. It's a charisma. It's an energy that they bring out. And yeah, it's good. It's all fucking good.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. And obviously the underlying theme through the night, by the way, on most of these matches was that most of these matches were cash in the case qualifying matches. That is the FSW answer to Money in the Bank. And they are going to be having that match at the FSW 17th anniversary show, which is going to be coming up at the end of the month. So definitely keep your eyes open for that. As Bryce Saturn picked up the win and advanced elsewhere, we had Dante King advance via DQ in kind of an interesting set of circumstances. Don't know if it was planned out to be that way, but Luke Curtis does get disqualified and forfeits his spot in the cash in the case. At least for now, we'll see if things can be booked in another way. But I gotta say, dude, another very, very solid match was we talk about this dude almost every week on the show, but Bodie Young Prodigy, BYP, defeats Nick Zander. They did some really good video package stuff with this, giving some background to this. Mikey, who does a lot of the video package work here at FSW, excellent stuff on the Nick Zander video package. But yeah, man, across the board, they built it up and they actually made you care about this match, which was a very, very great thing to see. BYP advances, in a hard fought match. It looks like Nick Zander may be coming back to FSW more consistently, which is always a plus. I think Zander is very underrated, and he can do a lot of really good things.
Yeah, this was my match of the night. I thought these guys shine bright.
Absolutely.
Their chemistry was freaking chef's kiss, man. These guys were rolling real good. They were cooking, as we could say.
Oh yeah, man.
Yeah.
And you know, the hits just kept on coming because in a four-way match, Dave Mazzani defeats Brett the Threat, Joe Braxton, and Con Osborne to earn his way into the cash in the case match as well. It's pretty funny. They made some comments on commentary about Dave Mazzani and his propensity to work the Battle Royals and things of that nature. But this year, he's going to be working the cash in the case match for the 17th anniversary. So no Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal for Dave Mazzani this year.
Right. And that was great. That was great. And I was pleasantly surprised to see Chris Bay making an appearance on the show as well.
So absolutely. Always great to see Chris.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, setting up that match with – Kevin Cole and Ice Williams, which some shenanigans went down in that one, but very solid one. More, I believe that was the final qualifier.
Yes, it was. And Kevin Koa punches his ticket and advances to the cash in the case. So in case you're keeping score, that's Bryce Saturn, Dante King, BYP, Dave Mazzani, and Kevin Koa in that cash in the case match coming up at the 17th anniversary show. So, but that was not all on this show. Your main event, the FSW Women's Championship was on the line. Zamaya unseating, dethroning Brittany Brooks to claim the Future Stars of Wrestling Women's Championship. And like we said with MLW, she's getting the right exposure, adding the FSW Women's Championship to you know, what will be a loaded trophy case in time, I'm sure. This was a solid match, man. Brittany Brooks continues to show that she can work as a babyface or as a heel. And so she is showing that versatility, but good to see Zamaya getting that championship.
Yeah. All around great main event. Zamaya's got something for sure. What a week for her, you know, getting the FSW title and debuting the day before on MLW. I mean, wow, what a weekend for her, huh?
Absolutely.
And then what can you say? Like Brittany Brooks, sky's the limit. She has really kind of furnished herself as a complete talent. I feel like you said she can work tweener. She can do baby face, heel. She can kind of balance that out just great. And yeah, she's going high up the card moving forward, I'm sure.
Absolutely, man. And so, yeah, obviously that was FSW high octane money to burn, but let's shift gears just a bit here. And let's talk about Memphis Wrestling, number 275. This was the tribute to Jimmy Valiant himself. Oh, yeah. Boogie. And, yeah, man. What did you think about this episode of Memphis Wrestling, dude?
Oh, it was, once again, with Memphis.
Hollywood, man. Jimmy.
Yeah, Hollywood Jimmy Show. Getting in it with Boogie Woogie, Jimmy Valiant. Match made in heaven. The Jimmys, you know, Jimmy against Jimmy. Lots of funny segments leading up to the final ending of this show, where Jimmy Valiant got legitimately booted out of Wrestle Center by Hollywood Jimmy.
You're out of here.
It was very dramatic, but yet very entertaining. Just this ongoing storyline with Hollywood Jimmy. You know, interviewing people and doing all this kind of stuff as far as like taking over the company. It just continues on. It gets more and more over the top. And I'm sure there's going to be a fallout from this now that Legend Jimmy Valiant got kind of owned by Hollywood Jimmy by the end of the show. So,
yeah, man, absolutely. Yeah. But elsewhere on this show, man, we saw, you know, someone else that just so happened to pulled double duty this week as Tim Bosby defeated CJ Blaine to retain his Memphis Wrestling Heritage Championship and then turned right around and appeared on AEW Dynamite this week.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, yeah. I mean, he didn't get too much of a shot in on AEW, but definitely, yeah, double shot this week for old Bosby. So good to see that.
Absolutely, man. But I gotta draw attention to this too, man. Something that stood out to me, Sean Aries.
That match was great, actually.
Dude, it was sub 5 minutes. Yeah. Sean Aries defeated main event Bradley. And, dare I say, Sean Aries is probably one of the most athletically gifted people in Memphis wrestling right now, if not the most athletically gifted. Since we've been watching this show, this guy jumps off the page and he's doing a lot of good things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think with some of these talents, we're probably going to see once they kind of get to a certain level, you might see them appear on another UWN property, shoot them over to Gotham or to Championship Wrestling in Hollywood. I think that seems to be a pattern. And I even thought aloud to myself, why in the fuck is Hollywood Jimmy not on Championship Wrestling from Hollywood?
Right.
That needs to happen eventually. It needs to go in there.
It writes itself, brother.
Yeah, man, it sure does. Can you see him getting into it with Dave Marquez in that promo? Oh. Come on, let's go. Let's go.
Absolutely, man. And anything else to add on Memphis before?
Yeah, the Shelby County street fight between Raven Black and Big Mama was a bit of a bowling shoe type of match. I will say, but it had its moments. I thought the storyline leading into it was decent with Raven Black, you know, attacking other women with beer bottles and such, and finally Big Mama showing up to kind of stand up to the big bad bully Raven Black. So that was all right. The story, it's played itself out well, I thought.
Absolutely, man. And you know, you just made mention of them, but let's just turn and talk now about those other UWN properties, shall we? Let's talk first up about Championship Wrestling, and then we'll see what's going on with Batman over in Gotham.
Absolutely. Yeah, not much to go with Championship Wrestling. Just do a quick rundown of a few highlights. I mentioned it earlier when we were talking previously about Bryce Saturn. He was on this show against Ray Jazz. They really had a solid match to kick off the show. And then we also had Evan Daniels defending the television title against Bateman.
Oh, wow.
Which also was a solid effort. So those were the two main points from Championship Wrestling this week. They really haven't put out too much of a card yet for Sunday Night Slam. I know over social media it's Willie Mack and Jordan Cruz in the main event, and I think they've announced a few other matches. I would assume, like, starting next week, they're going to really put in the promotion hard on Championship Wrestling for this Sunday Night Slam event coming up in just a few weeks from now. So
awesome, man. Yeah. Definitely. And let's turn now and tell me a bit about Gotham Wrestling. What went down there this week?
So I figured out this whole thing with the skyscraper match and this Five Boroughs tournament.
Talk to me.
Yep. So they laid it all out in the beginning of this episode, and I'm grateful for it. So I'm completely on understanding what the fuck is going on with this whole concept. So it was presented by the commissioner of Gotham Wrestling, Little Guido Maritano. of all people, who explained the situation. So they've had 5 weeks of this Five Boroughs tournament. Each episode took place of each one of the boroughs, like Queens, Brooklyn, you know, all these different boroughs areas of New York City, of Gotham, as they call it. So this week was the final boroughs focused episode. And how this tournament works is you have a six-man tag to start out the show. Now, the winner of that six-man tag, the three competitors that win that match, move on to the main event in a triple threat match. Then the winner of the triple threat match goes on as a qualifier to this skyscraper match, which there's still mystery a little bit. They haven't really defined what exactly is this skyscraper match, other than they showed a literal skyscraper in New York City. And as they were talking about it. So I don't know if like the match is like going to be like the cinematic match inside of a skyscraper
on the top of the roof. Why not?
It could be. It's very possible. Anything could happen in this gimmick. It's coming soon. They haven't really said when it's going to happen, but it's upcoming. But as of this episode, we now have all of the competitors. We know who's going to be in this skyscraper match. It's five different wrestlers. So on this show, there was a six-man where Papadon, Leo Sparrow, and Drew Gulak won the six-man. They went into the triple threat. Drew Gulak won the triple threat. So he is now qualified for the skyscraper match himself, and he is working against Ray Jazz, Jake Redondo, Chris Dickerson, and Max Caster, of all people, who is in Gotham Wrestling, apparently.
There are some good names in that match, man.
Yeah, so I'm really interested to see where this goes. Is it going to be a scaffold match? Is it going to be a match on top of a skyscraper? I think that's very, very, very possible. But we'll see where they go with it. And that pretty much breaks down, in a nutshell, Gotham Wrestling.
Hell yeah, man. Good stuff there. I'm interested in that skyscraper match. So Yeah, well, I'll have to check that out and see what that's going to be all about. But
I would assume they're going to like promote that a couple weeks in advance.
Oh yeah,
so, yeah.
I know we've got some time before that drops, so I'll have to get immersed as well.
Indeed.
All right, man. So let's actually talk about a promotion from the complete opposite side of the world. WXM Ground Zero. This was episode 23. And India's newest and, quite frankly, hottest independent wrestling promotion. Back at it again, man. Yet another super easy watch. 45 minutes to an hour. You're in, you're out, you're entertained. Mm-hmm. Solid stuff during that time period as well. So the show kicked off. Kevin Malik and Zack Sabre Jr. So ZSJ continuing to have a mini residency there at WXM. Defeating Jack Morris and Robbie X. So, yeah, very, very solid stuff in there in that match. So they have continued to kind of push the storyline with Zack Sabre and Kevin Malik, where they're kind of enemies turned partners. So yeah, kind of interesting, but that was a very, very solid opener. They did have a women's match on the show as well. Cool. You know, two local talents, Kanji and Sheikah Suzu. So yeah, you know, pretty solid stuff there. You can tell that, you know, both of these women are getting the work in and getting their bumps in that they need. And you gotta love it. So that was a pretty easy watch there. Nice. But another solid match on this show that I really wish did not end the way that it did, because it had a fuck finish. Obviously, DQ sucks. Donovan Dijak defeats Axel Tischer by a DQ because Big Damo decided to get involved and beat the shit out of Dijak. So they're continuing to push this feud, and obviously they've got their big, I don't want to say a pay-per-view, but a premium live event that's coming up very soon. And that was also reflected in the main event as the tournament title shot of Raj the Maharaja, formerly known as Jinder Mahal in WWE, and Shaw Samuels. So it was very interesting, because they gave these guys plenty of time.
Really?
They gave them about 14 minutes, which, keep in mind, as I had mentioned, this was about a 45 minute show. The opener got about 12. This was Raj the Maharaja retaining his title shot, and also retaining his career in WXM, which, obviously, we're 23 episodes in. He's the, dare I say, the biggest name in India independent wrestling. Sure. So I don't think that there was any real, you know, shot of him losing this match to Shaw Samuels. But they did do a good job of, you know, having that escapism, that willing suspension of disbelief, especially with some of the near falls there toward the end. Sure. And clearly they got some of the people in attendance as well. So that was always fun.
Nice.
But yet another solid outing from WXM. I will continue watching their product for the foreseeable future. It was definitely a good show.
Awesome.
So Jed, let's turn now and talk a bit about OVW. You checked this one out. Talk to me about Rise.
Yeah, man, there was a lot of stuff going on Rise this week. This just aired tonight. A lot of fallout and lead in from last week's start of the dual tournaments they have going on right now, which have already concluded and will finalize at next week's 1400th episode event. The OVW Media Championship and the women's title were recently vacated, and they decided last week to start up a little mini tournament of about, I think it's it was 8 competitors. It was not a lot of people total. So some matches happened last week. The semifinals happened this week as well. We're getting the finals next week for both of those titles. So we got that coming up. One highlight of the media tournament was the first round had, and this was last week, but there was follow-up from this week with it, Stephen Steele against against Cal Hero. And I've talked before about this program. Yeah. This is a program they have been working on for months in OVW. And where it's at now is interestingly enough, it started with Stephen Steele kind of going more babyface and Cal Hero tweening back and forth over to more of a heel. Now it's gone full circle, and Stephen Steele now is back to being a heel, and Cal Hero is landing back as a babyface. So what? Really interesting. Yeah, I've never seen anything like this where it went from one way, and it looked like it was continuing to go that way, and now it's shifted in a different direction, but the program's still very hot. They had a pull-apart brawl last week, which ended up into the locker room where a brawl ensued to basically end the show last week with all this stuff. The follow-up from it this week was that the GM, Katie Gannon, announced that at the 1400 event next week, Cal Hero and Stephen Steele are kind of going to have what feels to me like potentially a blow-off match. Finally, it's going to be a Falls Count Anywhere match. Ooh. And the special referee of all people is going to be an old name from quite a while back. And I wasn't even aware that this guy was still active in the profession of wrestling, but Kevin Thorne.
Oh, well, shit.
Kevin Thorne is going to referee this match.
Friend of the show, Kevin Thorne, I might add.
There you go. There you go.
Go back after this show's done and check out our archived interview with Kevin Thorne. It's a pretty interesting one for sure.
Awesome. I'll have to get into that. Definitely. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that at the 1400 show coming up next week. And then there was some other things that happened on this episode. A talent called Isaiah returned. I have not seen him in a long time. This has been at least a year or two. This guy, it's been a while since he's been around. He was really over with the crowd. He's got kind of a ninja gimmick. Nice. He ended up helping Big Zoe in there against the Troublemakers. And I think they're going to have a match with those guys at the 1400 event next week as well. Jay De Niro and Superior Tony Evans were setting up their match for next week's big event for the United States Championship. Now, keep in mind, this is an interesting dynamic here. We have the United States Champion Tony Evans against the OVW World Champion Jay De Niro. But the world championship is not going to be on the line, only the United States championship. This is a weird dynamic. But these guys have a ton of history, as Jay De Niro used to be Tony Evans' bodyguard or muscle guy, kind of like making sure that Tony Evans would win every match by any means necessary. Also in the storyline, Tony Evans has basically taken under his wing Jay De Niro's son, Tommy Boy. So there's a lot of moving parts in this storyline, in this program, and it's all coming to a head at the 1400 with a lot of backstory with these guys. It should play into a really good match. I don't expect a title switch. Some shenanigans are going to probably happen. I would guess we're going to have more of a world title rematch with these guys, where Tony Evans is going to try to get the world title from Jay De Niro. But we'll see where it goes. Best match of the show this episode was absolutely the Bomb, Eric Surge against Anthony Toatelli. They brought it, man. These guys, longstanding, both stars of the OVW brand, and they really brought it in what I would consider like a main event style match. Real good stuff. Here's an interesting little fact. Once again, Steve, just like last week, we talked about Freya the Slayer. Once again, I swear to God, this fucking happened. I can check the time on it again. On this episode of OVW Rise, Frey and Slay came out for a match with Chalancy Royale. And at that same time, on JCW, she was in there in the segment with all that shenanigans that we'll talk about later. But second week in the fucking row, somebody has to be doing this intentionally.
Absolutely. It's got to be a fucking rib.
Yeah, Freya is on both shows at the exact same time on JCW and OVW. So there
you go. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then one other – actually, there was a couple other things on this show. Like I said, this was a loaded show. They set up the – one of the biggest matches next week for the 1400 is a tag match with – Dustin Jackson and a tag partner of his choosing, which ends up being a guy named Cash Daniels, which OVW has been pushing for a while. He's like a Wardlow gun kind of character. And he is going to be taking on next week JBL, who's coming back in the ring. And they announced JBL's tag partner on this episode. And it's a competitor named Cash Flow, who is an OVW original as well. He was a big part of the Wrestlers documentary on Netflix when they showcased OVW. He also has a reoccurring role on the Sylvester Stallone TV series Tulsa King. So he's a pretty big deal. Yeah, he's very over. Yeah, Cash Flow in the Chop Shop.
Nice.
It's good shit. So that is set up for the next episode for OVW, where JBL and Cash Flow against Cash Daniels and Dustin Jackson. And that's going to be probably more or less your main event for the 1400 episode, at least one of the main events.
A whole lot of cash being thrown around in that one for sure.
Yep. And then finally, to close out this episode, another unexpected situation where we had Drew Hernandez in the match, in the main event, against another member of the Samoan dynasty, of the family of Rikishi. Rikishi's oldest son, Tomiko Fatu, debuted on OVW Rise in the main event against Drew Hernandez.
Oh, wow.
And immediately got put in the main event mix and everything involving Drew Hernandez is part of Superior Tony Evans faction. They got in the mix of it at the end of the show. Cal Hero, who's now aligned with this Tomiko Fatu as a babyface kind of clan or group or team. They got into it at the end with the heels. So whole lot of things going on in OVW. And I expect Tomiko Fatu to show up on the 1400 next week because Rikishi is actually going to be involved as well in the mix of everything next week too. So there's a lot of shit going on in OVW, guys. I'm just saying.
Definitely sounds like it, man.
Yeah.
They crammed a lot into that show, man.
They sure did. And it's next week's going to be fun. We're going to talk about it near the end of the episode, but it's going to be fun.
Oh yeah, man. And just really quick, I do want to jump in and talk a bit about 1FW. This episode dropped yesterday and it was another quick and easy 1 hour episode. As you can see in the episode graphic right here, heavily featured AEW World Heavyweight Champion Maxwell Jacob Friedman, MJF, as he pulled double duty on this show, actually. To start off the show, there was a trios match between the Frat House and the Superstars. So obviously some guys at QT's training there. And the Superstars picked up the win, and Cole Carter ate the pin from the Frat House. Some things never change.
That's right.
The person getting the pinfall victory for the Superstars was an individual known as Nikki Eight. So there's that. But elsewhere on the show, like I said, MJF, this essentially was almost a full Max episode. He came out, cut a promo, challenged anybody in the back that wanted to step out. And the challenge was answered by Rosario Grillo, who also works as an agent and behind the scenes with AEW. So obviously, you know, this made a lot of sense. Not really any kind of drama with this whatsoever. MJF picked up the win in just a few minutes. And then he grabbed a mic, ran his mouth, and then that prompted QT Marshall to come out. And the main event of this show was MJF versus QT. Oh, and again, not that there was any drama whatsoever in the result. MJF gets the win. And they did say both of these matches were eliminator matches, too. So, yeah, MJF doing his thing, helping out indie promotions and working with QT Marshall. Was a super quick and easy hour of TV. Conrad Thompson right there on the commentary. It was good. It was definitely worth checking out. And they are on the My AEW platform. So if you are, taking advantage of that pricing structure, you can also watch 1FW right there on the app, or you can watch it on Triller or even on YouTube. So definitely give it a shot. So, speaking of giving it a shot, Jed,
yeah,
let's keep some tradition alive. Talk to me a bit about NWA.
Oh, yeah. Once again on Comet on Saturdays. I have to say this probably was the episode that was a little more low-key than some of the other ones that I've seen so far on this run. They were from a different studio setting. It was like a small little, like, TV studio kind of vibe, which is familiar feels for the NWA. I like that. Yeah. I like that feeling that they go with it. A few things came for highlights of the show. Giselle Shaw was in there defending her television title against Serena Vale, and they have a gimmick with the TV title. I think this is for the men's side too, where they actually have a time limit of 6:05.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
that's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, and it kind of comes off a little bit like an eliminator kind of format too, because if the competitor goes 6:05 with the champion, I think it's suggested that they get another opportunity at the title. But it's a very tight time. So basically, goes to a draw, champion retains, but it kind of sets up something down the road for another shot at that title. Oh, yeah. And then the main event was actually, speaking of titles, it was a title switch that I did not expect. So they had the Immortals in there with the Country Gentlemen, who were in the finals of the Crockett Cup, if you recall. Now, you would think logically the winners of the Crockett Cup, who were not on this episode, that team from All Japan, the Gates of, or what was it, the Calamity, something Calamity. Mm-hmm. The guys of Calamity, we'll just call them that way. Something like that. It's something along those lines. Yeah. But anyway, you would think they would have got the title shot. And instead, the Country Gentlemen got the title shot at the Immortals for the tag titles, and they won the tag titles. I was shocked to see this happen, that the Country Gentlemen are the new NWA Tag Team Championship, or they're the new champions. Damn. So there you go. I still think they're going to take on, more than likely, the winners of that Crockett Cup eventually. Yeah. And I think that's what's going to – they're going to get the titles. I think it's just a matter of time. But when is the question? I guess we'll wait and see on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. The Titans of Calamity.
Titans of Calamity. There you go. I couldn't remember the first part. So
yeah. Thanks, sir. Absolutely, man. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that being the kind of end result. So
yeah,
this definitely makes sense.
Yep. For sure.
So, all right, man. So then let's take it international, shall we? Let's talk just a bit about GCW doing a couple of collaboration shows with a couple of European promotions this week. And up first was GCW and Banger Zone Wrestling. They brought us Now or Never. Both this and the Italy show for GCW, they had a completely different feel than normal. No MLJ doing the ring announcing. They didn't have their standard commentary team. So this was a showcase of strictly the talents of GCW as they locked horns with, in this case, Banger Zone Wrestling. And here in just a second, when we talk about the Italy show against Squash a Jobber Wrestling.
Oh,
so, yeah. Yeah, SAJ. Interesting, interesting promotion names.
They are creative. I'll give them that.
Hey, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there were some highlights in this one. I thought the main event was fine. Joey Janela and Trent Seven, they had a good time.
Dude, they went damn near a half hour.
Yeah, they really
gave them plenty of time.
They sure did. And
well-deserved, though. Those guys brought it for that full period.
Yeah, crowd was definitely engaged in it all the way. I also thought the Ricky Sosa match with KJ Orso was pretty solid. I was wondering where the hell Ricky Sosa went. He was in TNA for a handshake, and then out he went, and I guess he's in Banger Zone Wrestling. So
evidently, and he's losing to KJ Orso in 17 minutes. So
yeah, man, I was surprised, you know, because he was – they were setting him up in TNA to be a guy.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just bottom dropped out. I don't know if there was some maybe travel ban or some sort of passport issue he had. I don't know what. But yeah, he's all of a sudden in a show like this, looking great against KJ there. But I was pleasantly surprised by that match. Also, I have to say I loved the tag match with Mao and Yoshihiko. Oh, it's been a while since I've seen a Yoshihiko match. Probably since Las Vegas last year, as a matter of fact. Wow. I liked the creativity in the match. I liked that they were there brawling outside of the arena. And wow, some weird, crazy, goofy ass spots in this match.
Oh, yes.
As it would be the norm in any Yoshihiko match. So I enjoyed this one. There was a title switch as well, which was caught me by surprise as well. So
yeah, most definitely, man. I think that I have to say I went into this show and the Italy show completely blind. I didn't look at any of the cards or, you know, even see who was on the cards. Yeah. But, you know, they go through the ring introductions and then, you know, Mal makes his way to the ring and then you hear the Undertaker's theme.
Yes.
And I instantly just popped. And when I say the Undertaker's theme, I don't mean, you know, the traditional Undertaker's theme. I mean, from the Attitude Era, the, you know, the rock guitars doing their thing. And then you see Yoshihiko and their handler making the way to the ring. I fucking lost it. Because, like you said, whenever you have a Yoshihiko match, you know that you're going to get some inventive spots.
Yeah.
Everyone in the match will work within the constraints of working with Yoshihiko. Yeah. But some people view that as a blank slate and a blank canvas from which they can actually do their craft.
Right.
So we saw some really good invention. And, you know, like you said, too, we saw a title switch in this one, which I had no idea that was going to happen. But yeah, an added bonus of getting a title switch in this particular match. And it was a very solid 15-minute match.
Yeah, fun all around. That probably was the match that I enjoyed the most.
Yeah.
On this one.
Yeah. The I do have to say again, she's on this fucking show. Shotzi Blackheart defeating Corey Zero in a little over 11 minutes, dude. Yeah. Like,
well traveled that Shotzi is.
Absolutely killing it, bro. Yeah. Absolutely killing it.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, absolutely. Like what we said there, you know, that main event, if you're going to see anything from this show, take a half hour and go check that one out. If you've got a Triller Plus membership, it's worth checking out for sure.
Yep.
Elsewhere, the very next night, we had the GCW and Squash a Jobber Wrestling Promotion presents live in Milan. This one was it was definitely a tale of two spectrums, if you will. There was one of the matches on the show featured Gringo Loco versus Lupo, which they didn't really have the best chemistry in this one. And quite frankly, Lupo took a knee to the head and it just kind of threw everything off from there. So clearly Gringo Loco has been doing this for quite some time. Lupo is established in his own right. So it truly is one of those things where these guys just were not on the same page and unfortunately couldn't get on the same page. But I mean, outside of that, it was a pretty solid show. Again, a collaboration. So you didn't have MLJ doing the ring introductions. You didn't have their, their commentary team, that you're used to possibly hearing. So to be honest, between the Banger Zone Wrestling show and the SAJ show, they didn't necessarily have that GCW flavor. Yeah. Now, obviously night one Banger Zone, you had Koger, giving Viperous a Death Valley driver through the glass. There were some interesting spots throughout the show. One thing that was interesting is Joey Janela had actually no-showed against this promotion in the past.
Really?
So, yeah. So the fans did not let him forget that. So while they could have cheered and, gone crazy for Joey Janela, no, it was designed for him to truly be a heel because he no-showed an SAJ show in the past. Huh. So, dude, LG and Orso, they also had a pretty solid match. KJ Orso, very, very underrated, continuing to set himself apart week in, week out. And we talk about him almost every week on this show. So he's got to be making an impression. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. The best thing to happen to Fuego del Sol was for him to lose his mask.
No kidding. Star on the rise.
Yeah.
All the way.
Absolutely, man. And then let's go ahead and let's turn the page and talk about our main event.
Ooh.
JCW Lunacy.
Cuffed. It was cuffed. It was a cuffing experience, let me tell you.
Yes, Ooh. Sir. Man, oh man, I tell you, we had quite a bit of storylines being advanced on this show. Yeah. Everything from the 4 weeks of hell with Caleb Conley taking on Zach Gowan and the what? Human Tornado,
no
the Pimp shit. And Gimp connection, probably one of the best tag team names I've ever seen in my life. So this was fucking great. Obviously, the storyline is for Caleb to pick up 4 straight wins. Mm-hmm. So he gets the win over Human Tornado in this one. But yeah, you love to see it. These two guys are former 2-time JCW tag team champions. So they have credibility in the game. And they continue to push Caleb Conley. But even before then, Jed, I gotta make reference to something right as soon as this show opened.
Mm-hmm.
We see Vince Russo and Big Vito in a fucking vignette.
Yeah.
And what do we see but Vince Russo stroking his bat like it's a dick?
I know.
What the fuck? I'm looking at this show like, what the fuck are you doing, Vince?
I know. There was so much lewd and crude in this episode, man. Oh, my God. The stuff with Russo and Vito was very bizarre.
Yeah.
And the interactions with Violent J were a little bit awkward and weird. Russo on commentary on that match with Caleb Conley, by the way, what the fuck was going on there? He was lit the fuck up and
high. Yes. Yes. He absolutely was. I did have to laugh though, when he actually said, "Who writes this shit?"
I know, right?
And it, knowing damn good and well, obviously it's him.
Yeah.
So, and everybody else that's watching the show, more often than not, they're going to know too. So you got to love the self-awareness of Vince Russo at times. It was really funny.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of that in this episode. Definitely. just weird stuff too. The ring rat vignette was just wow.
It was over the top, man.
That was like a music video. Yeah.
It was like a late 90s fucking rap music video.
Yeah.
With her running around shaking her ass and literally establishing lore for the ring rat of all people.
I know. What the fuck? There was an advertisement for Lunacy events coming up that had like Gorilla Monsoon in the mix. Like, what is this? What is this? I swear someone put some freaking LSD in my drink or something. I mean, it was just like, what the flying fuck is going on here?
No, Jed, you did not just drink an entire THC drink before watching the show.
Careful now. Careful. speaking of chemicals, what about the Outbreak stuff again this week?
Dude.
The cliffhanger on that one. My God.
The Outbreak splits from Barnabas, and then at the end of the episode, they finally tease who the dealer is.
Yeah, so that's coming up. We're going to get a reveal of who the dealer is. We're also next week getting a reveal of who the fuck's finally with Joel Gertner.
Thank God. This dude's been coming for about 3 weeks.
I know he is. Coming, baby.
It's like Veer Mahan.
You're right. Indeed. Yeah. So
I would shit myself if it actually was Veer Mahan.
That be some shit? Oh my God. That would be something. I wonder, I'm just throwing out a name because of one single thing he actually said last week that they replayed on Lunacy at the beginning of this episode, where Joel Gertner mentioned feasting your eyes.
Yes.
Does that mean Dijak's coming in?
I would be okay with Dijak and JCW.
He would fit.
Because I picked up on that too. And I was like, wait a minute. Is the Donovan Dijak tour heading to JCW? Yeah. I could totally see him there for sure.
Yeah, he would fit the vibe well, I think. So why the fuck not? Go for it. We'll see what happens though. We're gonna find out next week, one way or another, what's going on with that. I really enjoyed Stephen Flo and Cocaine this week. I thought that should have been like higher up on the show. It was like mid level for the
world. It was like right in the middle of the show.
Yeah, man. I just thought, come on, man. Like, put that fucking on top of the card. I mean, I know there was some stuff at the end and whatever, but still, I thought world title versus tag title. Let's flip that a little bit and put the world title match at the end. But it is what it is. Speaking of another title, the Father Bronson and Facade storyline, Mac Davis. Are the shades of gray going on here? Like, I swear one week, one of these guys is a babyface, and then the next week they're a heel. Matt Davis is not necessarily justified in what he's doing, but he's typically a babyface commentator. Right. Facade has typically been like a heel. Now all of a sudden he's flipped to like a babyface role, and then you got this Father Bronson guy that just kind of creeps me the fuck out. It's just like all in all, like a mishmash of what the fuck is going on here with that whole storyline.
I completely agree with you, man. Like the thing that kind of took me out was, okay, so obviously this is fast forwarding toward a Mac versus Facade match. That's clearly what we're going for.
For sure. Yep.
But you know, you bring up a great point because so I'm new to Lunacy still. Mm-hmm. So for the last few episodes, I've seen Facade come out. Yeah, he's been a bit of a heel, but he also hands out a sign to somebody in the audience and then like spray paints his autograph on it.
He's
a heel.
Mixed bag. I know.
It's pretty weird. But yeah, I'm not a fan of what they did on this show. The Father Bronson character does not resonate with me at all.
It's weird.
It's just like I'm apathetic toward it, if anything. I can clearly see where the person portraying Father Bronson can work. They can do some entertaining things. I'm just not a fan of this casting of this character.
Same. Yeah. Like I said, it just kind of like gives me the creeps. Maybe that's the intention of the character.
Evidently.
But yeah, I just, it just, something doesn't stick with me. It's like, it's not in a true heel sense of like, you want to see this guy get the shit kicked out of him. You just kind of like, what is this shit? And why is it on here? Yeah, I'm not a fan. I'm with you.
Absolutely, man. Not feeling it. Yeah, the other thing too is obviously, you know, we've got all sorts of things going on with this show. There was the, you know, the Facade stuff, and then obviously Father Bronson wrestles against Facade with Mac Davis as the special referee. Mm-hmm. And it's every single trope that you've ever seen when it comes to a special guest referee.
Yeah.
So much so that, you know, quite frankly, I zoned out in the middle of this match because I knew that there was just, it was just going to be nonstop fuckery.
I know
during this match.
It never ended. It was just like one screw job spot after the next. I can
they seriously got diminishing returns from me on that stuff.
I agree. I appreciate the booking in the sense that they Violent J did a segment and you know, gave the belt back to Facade and kind of told off Mac Davis and whatnot. And it was revealed essentially that Mac Davis was kind of in cahoots with Father Bronson and this whole thing. Somewhat from last week. But yeah, the whole thing, just like, just let's just move on from this.
Yeah, please.
Let's find something different for Facade. Mac Davis can go back in his role. We don't need to go there. I think we're going to go there. But at least, I guess, if they just keep it straightened to Mac Davis and Facade and be done with one and done, great. But let's move on, please.
Have it be a one and done. I mean, if you want to have this go down at the Gathering, which I could easily see happening.
Yeah.
That would make the most sense. And obviously they're setting up a lot of stuff for the Gathering, on this show, you know, with Vince Russo, with Violent J. So I think that you brought up the point that it's going to be some sort of a tag match, where Vince and Violent J are going to be involved. And then they're going to have kind of like handpicked teams. Dare I say, we saw a bit of those teams kind of coming into fruition a bit with Kerry Morton, as well as the Pimp and Gimp, and then Future Endeavors, and Caleb Conley. So I could easily see it being like an 8-man tag, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. But that all remains to be seen which directions that they choose to go in. And speaking of the Future Endeavor tag team, Matt Cross and Shane Mercer, which, by the way, this match, those guys looked like some fucking dogs.
No kidding.
They looked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It was Shane Mercer and, Matt Cross against, the Backseat Boys, and then also against Choppa City. And we also found out that it was the Backseat Boys that decided to attack Tony and Willie and leave them laying. So obviously that's where we're going to go for the world tag titles. But this triple threat was a pretty solid match that ended the show.
Yeah, it was solid. Yeah, I believe Choppa City went over, if I recall, right? Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise. I thought Backseat Boys were going over since that was kind of direction that they're penciling in the future with Willie Mack and Too Tough Tony. But hey, there you go. So be it. So good stuff.
And yeah, obviously the World Tag Team Championships. Speaking of Too Tough Tony and Willie Mack, they defended against the Luciano Enterprises.
Indeed, yep, and some shenanigans with JCW merchandise being liquidated or stolen, I guess, basically from the Luciano family, and Ruffo of the Brothers of Construction continuing to be manipulated in the middle of all this stuff and used up by the Luciano family. I figure there's going to be some big twist or swerve or coming up with this whole storyline. I don't know what it is exactly, But something's going down. The Brothers of Funstruction are going to get back together. There's going to be some comeuppance here at some point. It's just a question of what it's going to look like is anybody's guess with this way the storyline has been. Who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck knows, man? Yeah. One thing I do have to mention, because we didn't mention it when we were talking about the World Championship match, which was in the dead nuts middle of the show. Mm-hmm. After that that match between Cocaine and Stephen Flo, we saw Alice Crowley in there handcuffed to the ring rat, yeah, making sure that she didn't get in there and suck anyone's dick off. But after the match, we saw Ho Kane getting a little bit jealous of Big Al.
Yeah, Ho Kane was not happy at all. So therein lies, I believe, a program in itself that we're going to be seeing Big Al and Ho Kane. There's a lot of questions as well with Danny Moe and the situation with the women's title that kicked off the show as well, where she got into it with J-Rod again. They had some brawling around the area, and then Sophia Rose came out, and once again, Danny Moe leaves. So where that's going, is it going to get interconnected with Big Al at some point, maybe, is anybody's guess. But yeah, Big Al, and I guess we're going to see Hulk Hogan in the ring coming up here would be my thought on that. So
I guess, man, I do have to say this, like every week that we've been watching Lunacy, it's been pretty fucking fun. Like even say whatever you will about, match quality and all that kind of stuff. Right. It's just a couple of hours of pro wrestling fun, which is what it should be.
Yes. Yeah. Like this week, I think, frankly, the in-ring probably really took a backseat more than normal. Yes. I would say there was a few matches that I even cringed a bit at. I thought the Father Bronson match with Facade was just rough around the edges.
Edges? The whole fucking thing was rough.
The whole fucking thing, right. Broke ass Briar Wellington's match with Shaw was the drizzling shits.
And again, Freya the fucking Slayer, dude.
Yeah. It makes her presence felt at exactly the same time she showed
baby up. Babyface turn. All right.
Yep. Yep.
And of course, she's by proxy going to end up getting a JCW contract out of this whole thing anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Despite losing the two matches to Giselle Shaw.
Right. I think they were figuring that into the plans, though. She'll get obviously showcased here moving forward. So.
Absolutely, man. But JCW was a lot of fun this week. But anything else that you want to bring up from any of the shows that we saw this week before we look ahead to next week?
Not really, man. I know one event that I didn't get to this week was a WrestlePro show that I believe had MJF headlining against Pat Buck.
Mm.
So that's something I may follow back on this week. That was available live on YouTube on the WrestlePro YouTube page. So check that out if you got a chance, because I sure haven't yet. So.
Hell yeah, man. I'll have to check that out. I know that. So pulling the curtain back just a bit, I started that stream and I got no audio for the first 5 minutes. So I did exit out of it and quite frankly, lost track of time and sure. I never picked it back up. But I might check it out this week as well in some downtime. Because it's not like as if we have anything else to watch or anything.
Right, exactly. We don't got 1,500 other indie shows that are going on. Christ.
Oh, my gosh, man. And so let's turn now and talk about what we're looking forward to. Jed, you mentioned the episode 1,400 for OVW. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about that and set the stage.
Yeah, it's next Thursday, so we'll be covering that right out of the gates after the show's done next Thursday night right here on the Sid City Indie Report, and a lot of stuff going on in this show. Lots of legends showing up. Rikishi, we talked about Kevin Thorne. Road Dogg is going to be there. JBL in a tag match as one of the big main events. We got Jay De Niro against Superior Tony Evans. We have a Falls Count Anywhere match with Steven Steele and Chris Hero, Cal Hero, excuse me, not Chris Hero. not Chris Hero. He's not showing up to the 1400 event. It's Cal Hero, goddammit, against Stephen Steele. Falls Count Anywhere, special referee Kevin Thorne. The finals of the media championship tournament. The finals of the women championship tournament. I expect a couple of surprises on this episode as well. I would expect Al Snow's going to have a hand externally on this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I think, you know, there's going to be a lot of different things going on with this show. I expect that a newest member of the Samoan Dynasty, Tamiko Fantu, to be involved in this one. So a lot of stuff coming up on the 1400 episode. That's a pretty big deal. I mean, they tout it as the second longest running weekly episodic TV show right below Raw because they have been out doing this weekly format for decades. So it is an impressive stat. And I'm really looking forward to what's coming on next Thursday for the 1400 episode of OVW Weekly.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, there's all roads lead to 1400, as it were.
Yep.
So yeah, they've got quite a few things that that they're building for that episode, and I can't wait to hear what went down there.
Yep.
What I'm looking forward to this week, yeah, let's get bloody. I'm looking forward to the tournament of survival. God damn it.
Yes, sir. This is gonna be a big weekend for GCW. Not just the Tournament of Survival, yep, but the War Games event also.
Oh yeah, Cage of Survival will be happening as well.
Yep.
But the names that you have in this tournament, and this is this all goes down in one night.
Yeah.
So you've got Jonathan Gresham. Yes, your eyes are not deceiving you. Yes, Jonathan Gresham.
Unreal.
Versus Masashi Takeda in the first round. And the thing is, let's be real, out of everybody in this lineup, I would think that Takeda would be the one that he would be the least likely to get into the ring with.
Right.
And, you know, Takeda loves using scissors and all sorts of shit that just makes you cringe.
Mm-hmm.
So how far immersed into the deathmatch culture will Jonathan Gresham go?
No kidding.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then we got Nino Extremo with Little Sicko. I know they've been showcased plenty. I remember that match where Matt Tremont put both of these guys over, and now look at them right on the opening slot for Tournament of Survival. I'm like,
hell yes, man. That'll be a great one. And then obviously that semifinal match could be quite interesting too, considering, you know, the names that are in there. But on the bottom half of that bracket, you've got Viperous versus Anakin Murphy in the first round. Dude, dare I say, I don't think anyone is beating Viperous in this tournament. I think that this is hers to lose.
Yep.
And that's how it is. Anakin Murphy will, you know, they're continuing to build him up because clearly they need, you know, to fill out that roster of deathmatch wrestlers. Mm-hmm. This is Viperous's tournament to lose. And then elsewhere, you've got Mr. Danger against Dr. Redacted. Gimme Dr. Redacted going over there. Yep. And then Viperous, yes, goes over Dr. Redacted in the semis. And then she'll beat Takeda in the finals, I think.
I think you're spot on with that. I think that'd be a great final. And, yeah, I think they kind of like, even over the weekend at one of those GCW shows, there was a match where she was in there with Koger. And I do wonder if they're going to follow up with that and really go full tilt
Out of
the tournament. So we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, man. But that all remains to be seen. But definitely, we're going to pivot now and just jump right into our final thoughts. So, Red Jed, tell the fine people out there how they can follow you and where they can watch your content.
Absolutely. Red Jed's Wrestling Rants, baby, on YouTube. I got old rants from a couple years back. So you can go back and look at the archives. I'm thinking in June sometime here I'm going to be kind of kicking off some independent ranting as well. So stay tuned for that. I have kind of a thought of like maybe even July 1st might be a good time to kick something off. So we'll figure something out there. But yeah, plenty of clips from plenty of live events, pay-per-views, house shows, you name it. Independent wrestling shows all the way up to AEW and WWE events, including WrestleMania, All Out, Forbidden Door we were at, lots of different random events that you can see on Wrestling Rants on YouTube. Super Red Jed is the handle.
Hell yes. And I want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country. Whether you're doing it on lands foreign or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. Again, that's repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 10%. And Jed, I think that does it for us for tonight, man.
Indeed. Another triple XL episode, brother.
There we go yet again, man. Well, until next time, guys, right where you're hearing our voice or watching this show, you can follow right there on the bottom of the screen. It's got all of our socials, VegasBadBoys.com, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, all Vegas Bad Boys. And we will be live on Tuesday with another episode of Wrestling Talk. So be looking for that. And also the DeFalco Files will be coming your way this week as well, right here on the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast Network. But until then, guys, we will see you all next time.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mics glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. All right. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys. Tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.